This gospel reading of Jesus cleansing the temple is not just about an event that took place 2,000 years ago, but rather it is about how he continues to cleanse the temple of the human body, the temple of the human person. Just as that temple back then needed his presence in order to be more godly, so too do we need his word so that we might recognize those habits, those patterns, those activities in our lives that need to be swept away by his mercy, those parts of ourselves that need to be cleansed by his forgiveness, those things that need to be driven out by his pardon. Remember that the scripture tells us that Jesus knows human nature very, very well. He is not at all unsympathetic with our uncanny ability to miss the mark, to lose sight of the goal, to wander far from the right path. The season of Lent, and especially this morning as we read in the first reading the account of the giving of the Ten Commandments, this Lent gives us the opportunity to review the commandments, to examine our conscience, and to make a good confession, to allow the Lord to sweep away and to drive out that which is keeping our person from being more godly. The third part of the catechism, the part that deals with the moral life, is structured around the Ten Commandments. This morning, instead of the typical homily, I'd like to reflect upon the Ten Commandments to give us a bit of an examination of conscience, something that can prepare us for our next confession. And so the first commandment has to do with strange gods. And while I doubt that there are many totem poles in our backyards, we still can worship false gods when we make as priorities in our lives things like power, prestige, popularity, money, security. These become false gods, keeping us from true worship. And so for sins against the first commandment, we pray, Lord, have mercy. The second commandment has to do with honoring the name of the Lord our God. We can get into bad habits with our language. All too quickly, words that we would never say in front of our grandmother are all of a sudden being shouted out for the whole world to hear. Our language reveals to others our person. And we want to keep an eye on our language. And if we have bad habits that cause us to say bad words, the best way to break that bad habit is to start a new habit. And when you're out walking or running or doing household chores, just rehearse in your own mind the safe words, the words that we can get away with saying when we're frustrated or angry. And more likely than not, the next time you hit your thumb with the hammer, out of your mouth will not come blasphemy. For sins against the second commandment, we pray, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
The third commandment has to do with keeping the Lord's Day holy, which means making Sunday Mass the fixed point of every week, come what may. that we find a way to structure our lives around the Mass, and that unless we are bedridden or otherwise carrying a communicative illness, or unless we are duly impeded by horrible weather or some other thing, we make it a point to get to church on Sunday and holy days of obligation. And we try as best we can to make sure that the whole day is a day that honors the Lord, a day that is not meant for work, but a day that is meant for family, the works of mercy, the works of charity, and true recreation, recreating ourselves through good and wholesome activities with those we love. Parents who are involved in athletics have a special responsibility to all the children who are involved in those sports to make sure that Sunday does not get stampeded by the schedule, to make sure that every child has the opportunity to worship on Sunday, come what may. For sins against the third commandment, we pray, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
The fourth commandment has to do with honoring our parents. This is something for children to be mindful of and youngsters. It's also a commandment that has to do with family responsibilities. It obliges parents to be good parents, teaching their children the ways of virtue and the ways of holiness. This fourth commandment can be difficult, especially at a certain stage in life when a young person goes from really, really enjoying the company of mom and dad to really praying that they lived on a distant planet, that they wouldn't have to be seen or dealt with. It's an awkward time. It's a time that is best dealt with the virtue of respect. Respect. Think about that word for a second. Back in the good old days, they used to call these things that rest on my nose and help me to see, they used to call them what? Spectacles. Respect is about seeing where another person is coming from. And parents, if you try to do this with your kids, remembering what it was like for you to be a teenager, and kids, if you can try to do this with your parents, trying to imagine what it's like to invest so much into a human being, so much that even though you know you need to let go sometime, you know that sometime is not now, if we work on respect, we'll do a better job with that fourth commandment. For sins against the fourth commandment, we pray, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
The fifth commandment has to do with killing. And while most of us do not get involved in the kind of things that are explored on CSI and Law and Order, we can, from time to time, kill another person's spirit by cutting them down at the knees with sharp words. A person who has suffered from abuse knows what it is like to be killed, for something inside of that person dies. Something that they'll be dealing with for the rest of their lives. This is covered under the fifth commandment. The sin of abortion and participating in abortion in any way is also covered under the fifth commandment. A most serious sin, but a sin that the Lord is fully capable of forgiving. And so if this is on your conscience, do not let time go by without bringing this to the sacrament of penance. Know the forgiveness that the Lord wants to give to you, His mercy and His compassion. For sins against the fifth commandment, we pray, Lord, have mercy. The sixth and ninth commandments have to do with the human body, our own and the bodies of other people. We know fully well that the world around us mocks the sixth and ninth commandments. They seem not to apply to anyone. And yet the human body is a temple, our own and the bodies of others. And so this sixth commandment, and likewise the ninth commandment, has to do with putting ourselves in the occasion of sin, being places that we shouldn't be, both real places and virtual places on the internet. It has to do with flirting around. It has to do with respecting the marriage bond and living in a chaste fashion, even while married, making sure that the church's teaching on the regulation of births is something that is taken seriously, for indeed it is a serious matter, and it is one that we rightly honor and observe. For sins against the sixth and ninth commandments, we pray, Lord, have mercy. The seventh commandment has to do with stealing. This can have to do with taking things from a store or stealing ideas by cheating on a test or by plagiarizing. It can also have to do with tools. Gentlemen, if you have in your shed a tool that belongs to your neighbor that you have borrowed and you have had in your possession since sometime during the Reagan administration, it's time to return that tool so that you are no longer guilty of violating the seventh commandment. For sins against the seventh commandment, we pray, Lord, have mercy. The eighth commandment has to do with telling the truth. Certainly in a court of law where under oath St. Thomas More would say that we hold our soul in our hands when we are swearing an oath. But being truthful has to do with being truthful with one another and certainly not being a gossip monger, ready to pass on the latest story about anyone regardless of the credibility of the source. For sins against the eighth commandment, we pray, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
The ninth and tenth commandment have to do with coveting, wanting what is not our own, and there's nothing wrong with aspiring to have some nicer things, some things that will bring a bit more comfort to our lives and the lives of our children. But when those thoughts dominate our lives and when we become fixated on those things, then we are paying more attention to what we do not have rather than thanking God for what we do have. And so if you suffer from covetousness, envy, jealousy, the best remedy? To offer prayers of thanks each and every day, thanking God for what you have, thanking God for who you have in your life. This not only honors God, but it brings about a sense of peace, a sense of well-being. For we cannot be both grateful and unhappy at the same time. For sins against the ninth and tenth commandments, we pray, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.